Extracts regarding the New England Sanitarium. January 22, 1907. Typed. A compilation of extracts from the testimonies regarding the New England Sanitarium. In a testimony entitled Instruction to Men in Positions of Responsibility, dated October 24, 1902, the following statements are found. The New England Sanitarium. The Lord in His providence has opened the way for His workers to take an advanced step in New England, a field where much special work should be done. Through the manifest providence of God, the brethren there have been enabled to arrange to change the location of the sanitarium from South Lancaster to Melrose, a place much nearer Boston, and yet far enough removed from that city to give patients the most favorable conditions for recovery of health. The transfer of the New England Sanitarium to this place, so convenient to the city of Boston, is in God's providence. Where the Lord sets His hand to prepare the way before us, God forbid that anyone should stand back, questioning the wisdom of going forward, or refusing to give encouragement and help. The removal of the New England Sanitarium from South Lancaster to Melrose has been presented to me as being directed by the Lord. The buildings are of a character to recommend our medical missionary work, which is to be carried forward not only in Boston, but in many other unworked cities in New England. The Melrose property is such that convenience can be provided that will draw to that sanitarium persons not of our faith. The aristocratic as well as the common people will visit that institution to avail themselves of the advantages offered for restoration of health. Let all who are connected with the New England Sanitarium labor to make it a model institution, where the living principles of righteousness shall prevail. All our institutions for the care of the sick and the suffering are to stand upon the elevated platform of truth. They are to carry out the eternal principles of equity and righteousness. Those who are working in them are to weigh their actions in the scales of justice and practice strict equity. God desires every man and every woman in His service to stand before Him in purity and truth, obedient to all His commandments. Cleanness of spirit must be preserved wherever the light of truth is to shine forth. All the workers in our sanitariums should ever remember that they are laboring in institutions dedicated to the Lord. Unselfishness essential. In planning for the advancement of medical missionary work, we should use sanctified judgment. We should not attempt in any place to erect a mammoth sanitarium so extensive and so expensive that we have nothing left with which to provide institutions in other parts of the Lord's vineyard, to carry out the same benevolent designs of our Heavenly Father as were specified when the first sanitarium building was erected in Battle Creek. God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to Him during the investigative judgment. This is the purpose for which we establish and maintain our publishing houses, our schools, our sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, and food factories. This is our purpose in carrying forward every line of work in the cause. From the New England Gleaner of September 7, 1904, the following is copied. August 21, 1904, Melrose, Massachusetts. Ever since the removal of the New England Sanitarium to Melrose, I have had a desire to see the new location and to tell those connected with the institution of the importance which its work may exert to benefit the people of Boston. I have now been at the Melrose Sanitarium for a week, and I find it to be one of the most favorably located sanitariums that I have ever seen. The spacious lawns, the noble trees, the beauty of the scenery all around answer to the representations given me of what our sanitariums ought to be. Everything is attractive to the eye and refreshing to the mind. Here I see the very pictures that I have been shown in vision, patients lying out in the sunshine in wheelchairs and in cots. I see before me the sights that the Lord has helped me to present before our people in print. Our sanitariums should be attractive places, and the surroundings of this sanitarium correspond more closely than anything else I have seen to the representations that have been given me by the Lord. Several sanitariums in favorable locations have been presented before me, but the strikingly attractive beauty of this place leads me to recognize it as the most favorable sanitarium site that I have ever looked upon. And here is to be done the very work that the Lord has specified must be done in our medical institutions. A work resembling the ministry of Christ, the greatest medical missionary that our world has ever known. A noble, helpful, sympathetic work. The manifestation of the cheerfulness and hope and grace of Christ is the highest ministry of truth and the most effective. I have been instructed that our institutions for the relief of suffering humanity are to be working agencies for the healing of both soul and body. During my stay here, I have had an opportunity to see a great deal of the surroundings of the sanitarium. The 40 acres belonging to the institution are in the midst of the Middlesex Fells, a state reservation of 3,500 acres. We have driven slowly through the park in every direction, looking with delight at the lake and the trees, and inhaling the health-giving fragrance of the pines. It is delightful to ride through the forest. There are many beautiful drives and much lovely scenery. I enjoy looking at the many different kinds of trees in the forest, but most of all, I enjoy looking at the noble pines. There are medicinal properties in the fragrance of these trees. Life, life, my husband used to say when riding among the pines. Breathe deep, Ellen. Fill your lungs with the fragrant, life-giving atmosphere. It is impossible for me to find words to describe the beauty of this place. Just in front of the sanitarium, there is a beautiful lake called Spot Pond. This lake is one of the water supplies of the city of Boston, and it is most carefully guarded from contamination. No bathing or boating is allowed on it. What of the buildings? They are well built and fairly convenient. In one of the cottages, the doors and window casings are made of heavy black walnut, and many of the washstands, bureaus, chairs, and bedsteads are also of black walnut. There was about $6,000 worth of furniture in the buildings when they were purchased. The buildings, with the 40 acres of land, cost $39,000. This property has come to us in the providence of God, and we should be thankful and grateful, realizing that the Lord has been working in behalf of His people, so that they shall have courage to press forward in His work. Let those who are connected with this sanitarium remember that the Lord is to be praised. He has worked on human minds to keep this place from passing into the hands of those who could not appreciate its advantages. In this institution, a work is to be done that will bring health to soul and body. And the praise of God is to be in the hearts and minds of the workers. Additional facilities should be provided for the care of the patients. Many from Boston and from other places will come here to be away from the din and bustle of the city. Other buildings will be needed. Rooms must be provided for the rich who are accustomed to many conveniences. Boston has been pointed out to me as a place that must be faithfully worked. The light must shine in the outskirts and in the inmost parts. This sanitarium is one of the greatest facilities that can be employed to reach Boston with the truth. This city and its suburbs must hear the last message of mercy to be given to our world. Tent meetings must be held in many places. The workers must put to the very best use the abilities that God has given them. The gifts of grace will increase by wise use. But there must be no self-exaltation. No precise lines are to be laid down. Let the Holy Spirit direct the workers. They are to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. The work for this great city will be signalized by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, if we will walk humbly with God. The worker for God is not left without a pattern. He is given an example which, if followed, will make him a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. He is bidden to glorify God by carrying out unselfish aims and purposes. The Lord understands man's nature, and He holds up before him the laws of the kingdom of heaven, which he is to honor and obey. He places the Bible in his hands as the guidebook that will show him what is truth and what he must do in order to inherit eternal life. This book draws the attention from temporal interests to spiritual realities. It tells man, fallen and sinful though he is, that he can become a prince and a king in the heavenly courts, an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. God sees how strong man's inclination is to accumulate earthly treasure, and in the highways and byways of life, his voice is heard, saying, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8, verse 36. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. God's messengers are commissioned to take up the very work that Christ did while on this earth. They are to give themselves to every line of ministry that he carried on. With earnestness and sincerity, they are to tell men of the unsearchable riches and the immortal treasures of heaven. They are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They are to repeat heaven's offers of peace and pardon. They are to point to the gates of the city of God, saying, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Revelation 22, verse 14. The Lord is ready and waiting to help the workers in every sanitarium to do the work that needs to be done. He expects everyone to work for him according to his several ability. Man's activity is not to be repressed, but sanctified and rightly directed. Let the workers in our sanitariums take heed to their character building. Let them not think that God values them according to their position. Let them remember that they must unite with God, carrying on their work with humility and learning each day the meekness and lowliness of Christ. It is this that brings true greatness. Mrs. E. G. White, in the Review and Herald, September 29, 1904. A portion of the foregoing article was published, and the following was added. "I am instructed that Boston must be worked, and I know that the possession of this sanitarium site is one of the greatest blessings that could come to our work in the eastern states. 100 or more might be cared for here were there suitable accommodations. Therefore, we advise that the work on the new building be begun soon, so that patients of the wealthy class may be cared for. This class must hear the message. Let those in charge counsel together and make arrangements to put up a building that will provide the necessary accommodations. The material now lying in the barn can be utilized. Remember, this material was a gift. We rejoice that the Lord in His providence has guided us to this place. No buildings can be put up near the sanitarium. There is here nothing to offend the sense of sight or the sense of smell, and care must be taken that there shall be nothing of the kind. I am instructed that close inspection is being made by those who are not supposed to be inspectors. Everything about the building will be investigated. Note will be taken of the care given to the barns and stables. Therefore, there must be no laxness or looseness in the care of the premises. Let everything be such that it will bear favorable testimony to the institution. Those who are acting a prominent part in connection with this sanitarium should be encouraged by what the Lord has done in behalf of the institution. Let all move forward unitedly. Let everyone strive to become better acquainted with Christ Jesus, the great medical missionary. Let all strive with every power of the being to control the blind passions, which, if not purged from the life, would lead to the dishonor of God's holy name. Self is to be subdued. Every thought, word, and act is to be brought into obedience to the will of Christ. Let all who are connected with the sanitarium inquire at every crisis, "What would Christ do were he in my place?" Keeping the way of the Lord always leads men into paths of truth and righteousness. We are to make advance moves. We are not to stagnate. Caution should be exercised not to bring an unnecessary burden of debt upon the institution. Stand in the light and freedom, without a yoke upon your necks. Come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Satanic agencies are constantly seeking to discourage and destroy those who will listen to the counsel of the enemy. Keep close to the Word of God, for it is spirit and life. Then the Lord will be able to say of you, "Ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. In a letter written to Elder Place, dated January 17, 1905, are the following statements regarding the burning of a portion of the main building and the duty of our brethren to help in the rebuilding. I have recently learned in regard to the burning of a portion of the Melrose Sanitarium. At first I felt almost overcome, but later I learned that only a part of the main building has been destroyed. I want you to see, my brother, that the Lord is good. Do not mourn over the loss, as long as the best part of the building is saved. Thank the Lord that considerable of the furniture was saved, and above all, that no one was hurt or killed. Can you not do something to arouse our people in the East to arise and rebuild the sanitarium? I feel a deep anxiety that Boston shall hear the word of the Lord and the reasons of our faith. Ask the Lord to raise up laborers to enter the field. Ask Him to raise up laborers who can gain access to the people of Boston. The message must be sounding forth. There are thousands in Boston craving for the simple truth as it is in Jesus. Cannot you who minister in word and doctrine prepare the way for this truth to reach souls? Oh, how I long to see the Holy Spirit's working on human minds. For hours during the night I lie awake, unable to sleep, pleading with God to let the power of His Spirit come upon the minds and hearts of the people in our cities. Let us regard the fire that has destroyed a part of the sanitarium a blessing in disguise. The Lord is in this cutting away of the objectionable portion of the building. It was a fire trap and made but a poor representation. After considering the matter, I said, Amen and Amen. Refined and purified by fire. Our people in the East are to do their part in helping to rebuild the destroyed portion of the building. May the Lord impress the hearts of those who have money to come up to His help and assist in the erection of a building that will be wholesome and safe and convenient. Work to this point. I must close now, for I am very weary. I ask you to do all in your power to help Dr. Nicola in the erection of the buildings that are essential for the accommodation of patients. Ellen G. White. In a letter to Dr. Nicola, dated May 14, 1906, the dedication of the Loma Linda Sanitarium is described, and then the purpose of God in placing these wonderful places in the hands of His people is spoken of as follows. Loma Linda cost us $40,000. The original cost was nearly three times this sum. There were 76 acres of land in the tract, and 30 have been added since. As a sanitarium site, the property is a valuable one. The grounds have been carefully laid out, at great expense to the original owners, and are beautified by well-kept lawns and flower gardens. The surrounding scenery varies, in many respects, from that seen from the grounds of the New England Sanitarium, but the extensive view is fully as magnificent as the Melrose view. There is more improved land about Loma Linda, including many square miles of bearing orange groves. Like Melrose, one of the chief advantages of situation at Loma Linda is the pleasing variety of charming scenery. We believe that both places have come in our possession to be used to the very best advantage possible for sanitarium purposes. But more important than magnificent scenery and beautiful buildings and spacious grounds is the close proximity of these institutions to densely populated districts and the opportunity thus afforded of communicating to many, many people a knowledge of the third angel's message. We are to have clear spiritual discernment, else we shall fail of understanding the opening providences of God that are preparing the way for us to enlighten the world. The great crisis is just before us. Now is the time for us to sound the warning message by the agencies that God has given us for this purpose. Let us remember that one most important agency is our medical missionary work. Never are we to lose sight of the great object for which our sanitariums are established, the advancement of God's closing work in the earth. Loma Linda is in the midst of a very rich district, including three important cities, Redlands, Riverside, and San Bernardino. This field must be worked from Loma Linda, as Boston must be worked from Melrose. When the New England Sanitarium was removed from South Lancaster to Melrose, the Lord instructed me that this was in the order of His opening providence. The buildings and grounds at Melrose are of a character to recommend our medical missionary work, which is to be carried forward not only in Boston, but in many other unworked cities in New England. The Melrose property is such that conveniences can be provided that will draw to that sanitarium persons not of our faith. The aristocratic, as well as the common people, will visit that institution to avail themselves of the advantages offered for restoration of health. We hear that something is now being done in Boston. We are rejoiced to learn, through a report in a recent review, of Elder Wheeler's work as pastor of the Boston Church and of the work of his faithful co-laborers. We are also pleased to learn that Elder Gilbert has been laboring in Everett, a suburb. We hope that those in charge of the work in New England will cooperate with the Melrose Sanitarium managers in taking aggressive steps to do the work that should be done in Boston. 100 workers could be laboring to advantage different portions of the city in varied lines of service. The terrible disasters that are befalling great cities ought to arouse us to intense activity in giving the warning message to the people in these congested centers of population while we still have an opportunity. The most favorable time for the presentation of our message in the cities has passed by. Sin and wickedness are rapidly increasing, and now we shall have to redeem the time by laboring all the more earnestly. The medical missionary work is a door through which the truth is to find entrance to many homes in the cities. In every city will be found those who will appreciate the truths of the third angel's message. The judgments of God are impending. Why do we not awaken to the peril threatening the men and women living in the cities of America? Our people do not realize as keenly as they should the responsibility resting upon them to proclaim the truth to the millions dwelling in these unwarned cities. There are many souls to be saved. Our own souls are to be firmly grounded in a knowledge of the truth, that we may win others from error to the truth. We need now to search the Scriptures diligently, and as we become acquainted with unbelievers, we are to hold up Christ as the anointed, the crucified, the risen Savior, witnessed to by the prophets, testified of by believers, and through whose name we receive the forgiveness of our sins. We need now a firm belief in the truth. Let us understand what is truth. Time is very short. Whole cities are being swept away. Are we doing our part to give the message that will prepare a people for the coming of their Lord? May the Lord help us to improve the opportunities that are ours. Ellen G. White. In a letter to Dr. and Mrs. Nicola, sent in May 1906, the following words were written. It was a wonderful providence that brought us into possession of the Melrose Sanitarium property. Let us work out by faith God's purpose for this institution. It is to be an important outpost center from which to work the city of Boston. You, Brother Nicola, understand the instruction that the Lord has given regarding this matter. Never in any way should the Melrose Sanitarium be placed under the influence of any man or set of men at Battle Creek. Not one of our sanitariums should be swayed by plans of human devising. The Lord is to manage our sanitariums, and He positively forbids that the sanitarium at Melrose shall in any respect be under the guidance of those who have resisted the counsel of the Lord regarding the proper union of the evangelical and medical work. Were men outside of New England to have a controlling voice in your organization and plans, great perplexity would attend your work. I now say to you, in the name of the Lord, cut loose from Battle Creek, sever every connection. The course recently taken by some to hinder the Melrose Sanitarium from forming a perfect organic union with the conferences from which its support and patronage come is exactly the course that God has warned us would be taken. When listening to the men who have taken this course, you are under an influence, the character of which you do not realize. The spiritual understanding of some men whom we have greatly respected in past years is not now to be depended on. Brother Nicola, the Lord will lead you, but never, never through a human agency who is under the influence of the enemy of our souls. The Lord has given you a most favorable place in which to care for the sick and to labor in His service, and He will bless you and your wife so long as you look to Him for guidance. But if you lean upon human help, you will find that your dependence is as a broken reed. I am bidden to say to you and your wife, guard yourselves against every deceptive influence. As you do this, God will tenderly lead and guide you, and bless you in your position of responsibility. In past years, you have taken a special interest in the upbuilding of the Melrose Sanitarium, and the Lord has blessed your efforts. He will still help you if you will to do His will. Do not, I beseech of you, break away from Melrose now, when you have before you so many wonderful opportunities for service. The Lord has a special work for you to do in Boston. The standard of present truth is to be exalted in that great city, and, in God's providence, you and your co-laborers are situated where you can cooperate with others in doing a noble and far-reaching work in that important center of influence. Brother Nicola, I wish to express my great thankfulness to God that you have the privilege of engaging in so good a work. This is the very work you ought to do in connection with the medical missionary work. Your position as a physician of experience and your wife's position give you influence. It has been very plainly represented to me by the Lord that you and your wife have been placed where you have many opportunities for accomplishing much good. A second physician, one who is competent to assist you, and who, withal, is sound in the faith, should be connected with you, and reliable help should also be provided your wife. This would give both of you more freedom. It is the will of the Lord, Brother Nicola, that you and your associates shall blend your talents in carrying forward the work of the Melrose Sanitarium. He desires that our people shall conduct this institution in harmony with the light that He has given. God established this sanitarium to be a means in His hands of accomplishing great good. I am instructed to say to you, my brother and sister, that you and your associates in the work at Melrose are to guard yourselves carefully against the danger of linking up with those who are handling sacred things as they have been handled by some in Battle Creek. And as the Lord has given light that Elder Farnsworth and his wife, with other workers of God's appointment, should remain in this country for a time to give the trumpet a certain sound, I would bespeak for these tried laborers your hearty cooperation in all their efforts to stand in defense of the faith. God's judgments are in the land. Whole cities and villages will be blotted out. Boston is to be warned now, and we are to allow nothing to divert our minds from the responsibility of fulfilling God's purpose in establishing the Melrose Sanitarium, which purpose He desires to work out through us. As physicians and ministers, let us labor in unity. The Lord will work with power as we strive to do our part faithfully. He will cause Boston to hear the message of present truth. Cooperate with Him in bringing this about, my brother, my sister, and He will help you, strengthen you, and encourage your hearts through the salvation of many precious souls. From a letter addressed to Dear Friends at Melrose, dated May 28, 1906, the following is taken. I see that the prosperity and success of our work in this time is dependent wholly on the Lord. Yet we must all stand in our lot and place as the Lord's servants, depending on His counsel. My presence shall go with thee, Exodus 33, verse 14. Has been repeated so many times, and I have had the assurance that He will never fail me. We must, as children of God, press onward in the way of obedience. God is our front guard and our reward. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Melrose and Loma Linda are both very beautiful places. Each has excellent advantages, and these two places near cities will open the way for the truth to find access to many people who have never heard it. Elder Haskell and wife have begun work at San Bernardino, and they are sparing no pains. They are doing their best. They labor earnestly to keep the workers all alive and interested to sell the literature, and the work is certainly taking hold. Some souls have already taken their stand. We feel deeply interested to see our cities worked. We hope that our workers in Boston will have courage in the Lord. The Lord is soon to come, and there is need that every talent shall be improved. I have seen the city of San Francisco, and what a scene of devastation it presents. We were an hour and a half riding through the ruins. As we looked at such complete destruction, we could hardly realize that the largest city in California was in ruins. We shall do all we possibly can to get the truth before the people now. The special number of the signs of the times is a medium through which much good will be accomplished. If I were 25 years younger, I would certainly take up labor in the cities, but I must reach them with the pen. Looking at the tall buildings in San Francisco, some of them having one side still standing, it seemed to say, "The touch of the Lord's finger will lay in ruins the most costly and the highest of buildings." One of the standing walls of these high structures came down with a crash as we were looking at it. The completeness of the ruin cannot be described, but our meeting house on Laguna Street is safe. We know not what may come next to arouse the people to investigate Bible truth. The day of the Lord will come unlooked for, as a thief in the night. If these awful calamities do not make an impression on our minds, what will? "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24, verse 44.